on the On Inquiry podcast. Let's focus on some college basketball recruiting, shall we? Scott Burgess, PrepHoops.com, has covered the state of Illinois for a very long time. He's a friend of the On Inquiry, so decided to have him on to react to the live period and all the in-state recruiting that Illinois is doing. Because despite having great success in the transfer portal, despite being able to go overseas, Illinois has really made in-state recruiting a priority, and not just with the top players like Brady Pettigrew and Cole Kelly, but prospects who kind of have mid-major interest at the time, getting Quentin Kitt and Mason Martin early in the class of 2027, and now focusing in and targeting and offering Ed Stasis out of Bennett Academy, a 6'8" forward. Scott breaks down all of those guys, their development, how they project at the college game, but we also talk about those two top in-state prospects in the class of 2028, Brady Pettigrew, who could reclassify to the 2027 class. He was just the EYBL MVP of 16U, and Cole Kelly, who played up a level on the Adidas circuit. Scott's a wealth of information. He's been following these prospects for a very long time. So we break it all down with Scott Burgess coming up next on the On Inquiry podcast. All right, it's July, and we got the recruiting trail heating up with the live periods all done, so we figured it'd be a great time to catch up with our guy, Scott Burgess, PrepHoops.com. He's got a great history here in Illinois of scouting the top prospects. Kind enough to join us to talk about some of the Illini targets. Scott, how are you, man? Good to catch up with you.
I'm doing great. How are you, Jeremy?
What's July like for you, Scott?
So it's not as crazy as it used to be, because it used to like last the whole month, and now it's kind of over for the most part. Like we had a kickoff event, and then, you know, a couple live periods, and that's kind of, I mean, there's still going to be stuff. There's going to be some stuff in Vegas, but for the most part, the heavy lifting's over. It's not like the old days where, you know, it started at the beginning and went all the way through the month, where it was 3 5-day periods, and it was grueling and a true like gauntlet. Honestly, June is more busy for me now than July, with all the high school stuff. I help with Nike Elite 100 camp, and then all the other high school team stuff. So that's actually a busier month for me personally than July at this point.
Well, yeah, we always have this conversation when we bring up recruiting. I think it's worth having, Scott, because when I started this website with Derek Piper 11 years ago now, like July was the most important thing. Like when you talk about roster building with college basketball, July was as important as anything. And now it's transfer portal. It's obviously pay for play. You're going overseas and getting players. How does high school recruiting fit in? Like your perspective, covering that side of it, where is that at right now? Where is high school recruiting for all these schools?
I mean, it's third, but behind what you just said, behind, you know, I mean, for a lot of programs, it's probably, for Illinois, I would say, obviously international, they're at the top level of recruiting that. But transfer portal is everything. I was talking to several of my friends over the last few days, and I was like, I remember coming home from events, and it would be constant calls from college coaches, constant AAU coaches texting me, kids texting me new offers, all that kind of stuff, commitments. It's super quiet. I talked to 3 or 4 coaches that reached out, you know, about things happening at other events, and hey, you know, who's the lead guy on this kid, and you know, do you think we have a chance here? But it used to be like 50, 60, 70 calls of those, you know, during the week and then right after, and it's completely changed. Like it's totally different than it used to be from a high school perspective. Now, part of that has to do with the 27 class in general has taken a pretty significant hit in Illinois with all the kids leaving. But even like, and the depth's not there as well. But I think just in general, from a high school feel, that's kind of how it is now. A lot of coaches, like some of them don't even go out for whole live periods. Like it used to be a big deal where you had to be in front of your targets, and you had to, you know, babysit them or whatever. And now all that matters is what the number you're going to pay them at the end of the day is. So it's like, what is the point of me having to go sit and watch player A play six times at Peach Jam or 3SSB when all that's going to come down to is what's the money.
Yeah. And you talked about it, covering the state of Illinois. There's so much talent coming out of this state, Scott, but it doesn't stay until their senior. Even a guy like Jackson Davis, who we thought was going to be that rare four-year guy, he decides to go to Monarch Academy along with Quentin Kitt in that class of 2027, but there were probably three or four other top 100 guys in that class. So, I mean, I guess I get it from these guys' perspective. They want to compete and get better heading into their, you know, college seasons and college careers, and I'm sure it's encouraged by some of these colleges to go there. But what is the impact of these guys leaving the state of Illinois for their upperclassmen years especially?
I mean, I get it from both sides. Obviously, from my perspective, it's not great. And from just fans' perspective, it's not great because, you know, you're losing the premier players. Jackson Davis, Davion Thompson, Howard Williams, who left after his freshman year, and he's bounced around. He's been at three or four schools now. Devin Cleveland, Quentin Kitt, Jeffrey Hassan, Jarrell Brown, and you know, the list keeps going on and on. It's far, and also too, one thing people don't fully get that just kind of, you know, maybe watch, you know, follow Illinois recruiting is it goes deeper than that. It's like kids that are ranked like the 20th kid in the state and like the 35th kid in the state, they're leaving for like prep schools I've never even heard of. And I'm like, what is the point of this? I literally don't understand what the point of it. For the kids going to the EYBL Scholastic School, those are legit programs that with legit, you know, training and facilities and all that stuff. So I get it from that perspective. The lower level schools, I don't understand that at all and what the point of it is. So I think it's the staying in state, I've always said, is like, you know, you remember this, Jeremy, like Cliff, Jalil, Jabari, Brunson, Ulis, Kata, those guys are legendary high school basketball players in the state of Illinois. Io, Talon, all those guys. And the reason is because they stayed and played 4 years and they left lasting impact on high school basketball, not only just in their community, but in the state. And they'll always be remembered for that. Like when these players go back to Link Academy, you're just a dude. You're just another guy. Like, Io goes anywhere in the state of Illinois. Io's come to our tournaments throughout the year. Talon's come to our tournaments. Zach Norvell. A lot of these guys have come back to our tournaments, and everyone's coming up to them like, oh my gosh, it's blah, 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 blah. Like, that doesn't happen when you go to those schools. You don't leave this lasting legacy. You don't, you know, win a state championship and be remembered forever. On the opposite side, I understand playing in at the elite level of the prep schools, the EYBL Scholastic types, the prolific preps. Those schools are different. They're playing national schedules. You're essentially going up against an all-star team of Illinois every day in practice. So that's preparing you for the next level. And the travel is preparing you for the next level. It's essentially playing college basketball in high school. So I totally understand why you would want to go there to get better. And also it helps you in a little bit of a way from a marketing standpoint, because, you know, fortunately or not fortunately, those are where the national scouts are. Those are where a lot of these brand people that are doing these NIL deals and stuff are at. So I think there's pros and cons to both of it. Obviously, you know, I hate it. But
and for Champaign to not get those guys at the state championships, when you get the state championships back to Champaign, it kind of stinks. I get it from their perspective. Like the individual, I get why they're doing that. Let's flip to Illinois here a little bit. Their reputation, I would imagine, on the recruiting trail has changed a little bit here, Scott.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they are like definitely a much more name brand school to kids outside of Illinois than they were, you know, 3-4 years ago. Obviously, you know, you had the run with Io and Kofi, and then Terrence Shannon run, and then this past year with you know, Keaton and all of the foreign guys. So they there's definitely more buzz about them, and you can see it, you know, when they go to a gym, like it's more of a, like they can walk in and they have more swag to them, you know, like more like, oh, look who that is over there.
More aura, as the kids say.
Yeah. That's a good word. And it's well deserved because they won and they have done it at a super high level, not just making one Final Four, but making another Elite Eight, making, you know, getting number one seeds, winning Big Ten championships. Like they've done this consistently now for, you know, the majority of, you know, Brad's tenure at Illinois. So they have proven that this is not a 1-year fluke making the Final Four. And I think they're definitely right there as far as, you know, one of the premier programs in the Big Ten and in the Midwest in general, as far as recruiting and what these kids, you know, are looking at.
What's interesting is Brad has kind of proven he doesn't need the state anymore, right? Yep. Other coaches back in the day, you needed the state. That's why we talked about it so much. Yet he's still prioritizing it. Scott, getting guys like Mason Martin, Quentin Kitt, and now offering a guy like Ed Stasis, like they are still trying to find as many high major guys who fit their profile. And a lot of these guys were mid-major recruits when they offer them. So what do you kind of make of that?
I think they have taken a great approach to it. The elite kids, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second, like Brady Pettigrew, Cole Kelly, they offered them early and said, you're a priority, we want to be involved. Then kids like Mason Martin, Quentin Kitt, Ed Stasis, who maybe from a national perspective were a little bit under the radar. Like Kitt's always been, he's always been in our top five, even when we had all those other elite players. Like he's always been there. Martin was a little bit of a later bloomer, and he's proven, you know, I mean, for me, him and Stasis, it's going to be one and two in some order in our next update. And then Stasis is another guy that is a late bloomer. He's always been a super athletic kid, a rebounder, physical around the hoop, but the skill level was later developing. And I think Illinois has done a great job with all of them. They jumped in on Martin early and said, you know, every school needs shooting. Every school needs movement shooters. That's what he does. So let's just grab him, take him, see what we can do. He's 6'5". He can, you know, he has one of the quickest releases in the country. Let's jump in there, get it done. He told me, you know, no school was going to top Illinois when he committed. So he's like, what am I waiting for? Just get it done. So then you have that spot filled. You go and get Quentin Kitt off the board before hardly any other high majors get involved. If he was still on the board right now, he'd have a ton of high major schools on him because of how versatile he is, how many different things he can do on the floor. But they got that done quietly, quickly, and early. So you knock those two out. Then as far as, you know, an Ed Stasis, he's a late blooming guy that you, I think, I love the way they did that recruitment, where they followed him in the spring, then, you know, watched him during the first high school live period. He was really good at Riverside Brookfield. Got him on campus, still didn't offer, and then, you know, watched him the second live period and then offered, and it made more of an impact than just throwing out an offer, you know, hey, you played good this game at Riverside Brookfield, here's an offer type thing. I think they made an impact with that offer. But like you said, you know, they don't need in-state recruiting. Like they're a national brand, they're an international brand now. And so you can supplement where before Chicago was everything. The amount of people that would tell me over the years, if Illinois could just land the top three to five players in Illinois every year, they would win the national championship and be in Final Fours, which in certain years might have been true. But like, I don't think in this class that would necessarily, you know, do it. But these guys aren't expected to be your number one, two, three guys. These are guys that are going to fit specific roles. Martin, shooter. You have Stasis, rebounder, athleticism around the rim, finish out of the dunker spot. That, you know, it continue to improve the skill level. And then you have Kit, who's kind of that Swiss Army knife that can play a bunch of different positions. You can use him a bunch of different ways. And then you're going to go get your superstar to put with them. Or you're going to go get some guy from a country I don't know that's really amazing, like Jokić or one of those guys to put next to him. So they're supplementing it when under previous regimes, that was what you had to do. Otherwise, there was no backup plan.
Well, Quentin Kitt, as you said, like has continued to get better since he committed to Illinois and on the EYBL circuit, led Mean Streets with 19.9 points. I think that was top 10 during the EYBL circuit, 45% shooting, under 30 slightly from three, but also 4.8 rebounds. You kind of mentioned his skill set there, Scott, but what are his next steps as a player and how do you kind of project him as a college player in the Big Ten?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that has always been a stat sheet stuffer. He does a little bit of everything, and I think that's where his value is. I think it's he can, you know, play anywhere from he's probably more of a natural three that can slide up and play some four. He can handle the ball if you need to him in a pinch. Good shooter, not great shooter, like you said. Probably better in the mid-range than from three, but what I like about him is just his willingness to fit wherever is needed. In a game where, you know, maybe Jackson or Davion, you know, weren't either they were hurt or they weren't having their game, he can step up and go get you 30. I think there was one of the sessions where one of those guys was out and he just went off and you could see his ability to score at will. But then in another setting, when he does have other guys around him, he can be a facilitator. I think he's one of the best connective passers in the country in the 27 class that I've seen, as far as getting other guys involved on the fly, off live dribbles, and making other guys better. He rebounds, he defends at a high level too. And I think one of the other things that has really stood out is he's gotten a lot stronger. You know, he had that frame from the first time I saw him as a freshman, but it's starting to fill out now. And I think if he can become a more consistent shooter, I think he can become a number one or a number two option down the road for Illinois as far as a scorer. But he doesn't have to necessarily do that from day one. Bringing all those other intangibles and being just a piece that can fit in, it's going to make him playable from day one.
Mason Martin, known as an elite sharpshooter, obviously needs to get better in areas to where he can play enough to show off that skill. But if you can shoot at a really high level, you're going to find the court at some point. How good of a shooter is he? Like, how would you compare him in the time you've covered high school recruiting in the state?
Yeah, he's pretty high up there. I think one of the things that when you look at shooting, it's not just like what a percentage is. Yeah. It's how do they do it? He does it off the catch. He does it off movement. He does it pulling up. He does it in the mid range. All those are plus. Like, none of them are average. They're all above average. Some of them significantly above average. And those pieces where you can run them all over the floor and get them open, not just necessarily just, hey, stand in the corner and we're going to pass you the ball. Like, those guys that have that relentless running all over, I think I always think of a guy like like Reggie Miller back in the day, like a guy that just constantly movement, or like Curry or somebody, like not staying.
Somebody guys. I think of in the Big Ten is like Fletcher Lawyer, like, yes, you know, guy exactly. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a movement shooter. And something I really liked about, or I've noticed about him this spring and summer as well, is his ability to adjust his shot to the length of the defender is been really impressive. First of all, he gets great elevation off the floor when he shoots it. Even when he's coming off movement, he has a great knack for getting high off the floor to get away from the contest. And he can also adjust the shot a little bit higher if he needs to, and he still makes them almost every time. And that's something that's pretty rare, like for a high school kid to be able to understand the little nuances of the game. Like you said, there's going to be other areas he's going to have to improve to be able to get on the floor. But I think he is a very much an underrated athlete. Like, he's proven athletically he can do some stuff in transition, off the dribble. Like, he can handle it a little bit. Like, he's not, you know, negatives across the board in those other areas. Like, he is playable in those other areas. It's just going to be continue to get stronger, continue to just improve your overall game, but the shooting is going to play at the next level for sure.
All right, you brought up Ed Stace. He's been at Academy forward. He's been a part of winning, man, at that program the last couple years. Was a mid-major target for most of this because he's 6'8". If you're 6'10", might be a little bit different, right, Scott? So at 6'8 right now, why can he be a rotational player in the Big Ten, and what can he add?
Yeah, I think his biggest strength is his ability to rebound. And in today's, you know, I kind of compare it a little bit to baseball, when it's like, you know, you say you have one tool, we're looking to add, you know, another tool to make you, you know, a major league player. So he has one tool. He is an elite rebounder. He goes and gets the basketball at a high level. You're looking to add, you know, can he shoot? Can he maybe be a little bit better of a rim protector? I think he has improved in both of those areas. We saw this June with Bennett, where, you know, like you said, Bennett's done a ton of winning, and he was a complimentary piece the last 2 years for them. He was just not a role player, I wouldn't say, but probably their third, maybe fourth best player as far as their actual high school team and what was important to their high school team. Him and their point guard Perry, they are the guys now, and he definitely has elevated himself to knowing that it's his deal now, and the ability to score in more areas outside of just finishing out of the dunker spot or rim runs or lobs. Like, he's shown legit skill on the block. He's shown he can face up and shoot the basketball a little bit. Now, is he like elite as a shooter? No, but it's there and it's in the bag, and it's something that, like, a player like Merez back in the day, he flashed it. And I think you're starting to see that with him now, you know, making it to the pros. And a big thing that came out of a lot of his pre-draft workouts that I heard from teams was, we didn't know he could shoot that well. And he's always had it in his bag. I think Stasis can develop into that. And I still think he's going to be a four at the college level. You know, not like Rickhaus type four, but maybe kind of a more of a four and a half, where he can play, you know, some on the perimeter and then play some inside when you need him to as well.
All right, Brady Pettigrew. Let's get to the highly ranked guys here. 2028 sounds like he's very likely to become a 2027 at some point. But playing 16U, he got EYBL MVP, averaging 24.8 points on that circuit. Has he elevated his game, Scott? And in what ways has he?
Yeah, I mean, he's taken it to a different level every time I've seen him. You know, I probably spent more time with Brady Pettigrew than my own wife over the last month and a half, because I was with him at both high school live periods, Elite 100, saw him at all the Nike stuff. So yes, he has been fantastic over the last month as far as his ability to get what he needed done. And one thing that a lot of people don't know is he had injuries through most of it. Like, I know it came out that he had a neck issue before he had that big game the other day at Peach Jam, but at Elite 100, he hurt his foot pretty bad, enough where he couldn't play the last day. And I was sitting there with him and we're talking, and he wasn't planning on playing that last high school live period in at Ridgewood. And then, you know, the next day I show up in Chicago and he's playing. I'm like, okay, let's see what he's got. And he played out of his mind those first two games. And, you know, he got EYBL 16U MVP. He scored 24 points a game. His shot creation and his ability to score from everywhere on the floor is what makes him special. He's not just a one-trick pony. He can get to the rim. He can get to his spots in the mid-range. He understands the game of basketball at a very high level. Obviously, he comes from a family that has had already two of the best, you know, two top 10 players in the state, Trey Pettigrew, JT Pettigrew. His younger sister is, from everything I've heard, the best 20-30 in Illinois and one of the best in the country. So he comes from a very athletic family, and yeah, he's taken it to a whole nother level.
Even if he's a 2027, like, he's the caliber of prospect that would seem to wait until the spring. I would imagine we'll never know, but like, how do you see that recruitment playing out? Because Illinois has made him a priority for a long time. As you said, one of his first offers, he just took an unofficial visit here, but that's a kid with a lot of options. I would imagine a lot more options coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, I think Illinois is heavily in the mix as one of the two or three schools. I think you look at Illinois, I think you look at Florida, I think you look at Arkansas, BYU. I think those four, for me, kind of are in a tier by themselves right now. Michigan recently came in. Obviously, you know, coaching change there, so we'll see how all that plays out. But I think the sleeper is Duke. They haven't pulled the trigger on an offer yet. I think if they're going to do it, it's going to be here in the next week or so, because after seeing what he did down at Peach Jam, I don't know what more you need to see. You know, Coach Shire was there to see the game where he didn't play great in the first half, and then he turned it on in the second half and hit the game winner on a and-one turnaround spin move from the elbow. Like, he, yeah. So I would say right now, those four are the most, that have the best chance at him, with Duke kind of lingering.
All right, Cole Kelly, the other big one in the class of 2028. He played 17U on the Adidas circuit, averaged 17.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, more than a handful of assists, I think 6 assists on the circuit. Scott just does a little bit of everything. Just what do you think of him? And I struggle with a comp because it's hard to find a guy who's like that size, that does a little bit of everything, that's got versatility. He's just one of my favorite players to watch.
He's such a fun player. I think his biggest strength is his passing. I think he is, I've always called him a point forward, point power forward almost at times. Like, he is the one that initiates the offense for Breakaway and for his high school team. Like, he is legitimately their point guard. And his outlet passing, his ability to hit guys on the move, his overall game and vision and high basketball IQ is what separates him, I think, from a lot of players. Good athlete. I wouldn't say elite athlete, but definitely a plus athlete. But the IQ and the basketball savvy, along with his shooting, I mean, talking about Mason Martin, like, Cole Kelly's right there as far as one of the best shooters in the state, just as far as pure catch and shoot guys as well. He can pull up off the bounce, gets to his spots. He, I think the athleticism is definitely continued to improve there, but his ability to get other guys involved, his just overall basketball IQ, rebounding. There was one particular sequence I remember from June. I think it was at Ridgewood when he was guarding a decently high 2028 wing, defended him for multiple seconds out on the perimeter, got the stop on a contest, went back, got the rebound, pushed it in the open floor for a couple dribbles, and then threw an outlet pass right on the money to, I don't remember if it was Martin or one of his other teammates, but I turned to a college coach and I was like, that's it right there. That's what he brings, you know, to a college basketball program right there. Yeah. So, him and Brady are super special players. They're the best two prospects in the state, and it's not close.
Regardless of class, I would imagine.
Regardless of class, yes.
How do you see Cole's recruitment going? Because Illinois has been a major player there, too, getting in early, which is what you want to do, and then kind of see where the chips fall from there.
Yeah. I believe, didn't his sister or somebody commit to Illinois as well?
Yeah, his sister's at Illinois Volleyball, yeah.
Yeah, that can't hurt. I think it's still pretty early in the process for him. He's picked up quite a few offers over the last month. Marquette, Wisconsin, Butler, Notre Dame, I think Ohio State, Purdue. Painter was at quite a few of his games that I saw in during the high school live period, so I think they're going to make him a priority. I would tend to think he fits in that Big Ten mold as far as like Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois, you can throw like a Notre Dame in there, like that type of battle. It could go national, but right now I think it's more of a elite level regional recruitment where you're going to be battling those type of schools for him at this point. But I think Illinois has done a great job. They've got him on campus. They have made him a priority. The staff was consistently at his games throughout June and July. They've said, you know, you're our guy.
Yeah. Scott, before we let you go, it's always weird because, you know, 2029, 2030, you don't know if those guys will be here by the end of their high school careers. What are those classes looking like in state? Anybody we should know?
Yeah, so we're getting ready to drop 2030 or 2029 actual rankings here pretty soon. I think the headliners are a couple kids from Mount Carmel, DK Hurd, who's a wiry athletic wing, can, you know, impact the game in a lot of different ways with his defense, his energy, his rebounding. The jump shot is still a work in progress. Ronald Johnson is a big 6'3" point guard that can impact with his passing, his defense, his downhill attacking. There's some guys like TJ Jamison from Whitney Young, 6'4" combo guard that can shoot it. Armarion Jackson from East St. Louis, who I don't know if you remember him from state. He didn't even play this year because of a football injury. He's actually a top 10 football recruit. That's one thing that's kind of interesting about this 29 class is you have him, you have Jelani Billingsley. Both these guys are top 10 in basketball and football in the state as obviously elite level athletes. Denham Wallace, I think, from New Trier is a big kid to keep an eye on with his size and his skill level. Couple kids from Bloomington I think you need to look out for. Dallas Marshall in the 29 class, and then his teammate, kid named Morris, it is Bryson Morris, in the 30 class is probably the number one player in that class right now. Coming into high school, we won't formally rank that class for a while, but there's a big kid named Isaiah Stewart from Rantoul, so right down the road, maybe one to watch. So those are a couple kids to maybe keep an eye on in that class. We're you know, getting names. Robert Smith Jr., the son of legendary coach Rob Smith from Simeon, he's a freshman at Marist, and he's one of the probably two or three, four best players in that class as well. So we're in on them early and tracking them, and hopefully they stay in the state.
Yeah. Scott Burgess, prephoops.com. They do a great job covering recruiting, especially in state with Scott leading that charge. Scott, really appreciate the insight. It was great catching up with you, buddy.
Thanks, man. I always appreciate it. You guys do a great job.
Great stuff from Scott Burgess. Really appreciate his time. Go check him out at prephoops.com. You can see him on Twitter as well, at Scotty B. Scout. We will continue to follow Illinois basketball recruiting. Check us out at IlliniInquirer.com. Also, Kyle Tossman busy at work with his Player Outlook series, breaking down each individual player on Illinois, what they bring to the team, where they need to improve, and their expectations for the 2026-27 season. It is a can't-miss series, so if you're an Illini basketball fan, go check it out. And if you're not a VIP member, it's a good time to sign up to read that. 50% off right now a VIP membership at Illini Inquirer. That's more than $70 in savings for your first year. Joey Wagner and I also continue to whittle away at our position primers, getting you ready for the Illinois football training camp and the 2026 season. Training camp starts on August 3rd, and we now have all of our position primers at least ready to go. Joey published the DBs. Pretty strong position, at least in talent and experience. So you can go check that out at IlliniInquirer.com. And I'll have special teams, an in-depth breakdown of special teams for all of you diehards that really care about special teams, which swings games, as we know, both in a positive way and potentially a negative way. We saw both of those last year for Illinois football. So it's a little slower time in the sports calendar, which is allowing me to catch up on a little bit of reading, which I've wanted to do. Go see The Odyssey. I'm going to do that on Tuesday. Watch some movies that I've wanted to get to. But boy, we're about to heat up because next week is Big Ten Media Days. And we just got it confirmed. We are going to talk on the podcast one-on-one, or I guess two-on-one, Joey Wagner and I, with quarterback Caton Hauser, DB Matthew Bailey, DB Juice Clark, as well as head coach Brett Bielema. So they will all be on this podcast next week. Can't wait to get in depth with those guys. One of my most fun things to do leading up to the season is having one-on-one conversations, in-depth conversations with all those guys. And of course, we'll have plenty more from Big Ten Media Days as we get the unofficial start to the 2026 season, and then training camp supposed to kick off on August 3rd. So check out Illini Inquirer for all of that. We'll have more. Joey Wagner and I are going to have some X-Factor swing candidates for the season, guys who can kind of swing the season, you know, positively, negatively. We'll talk about that on the podcast later this week as well. But thank you for tuning in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Hit that like button down below while you're here. Subscribe to us and hit that notifications bell. But for Scott Burgess, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.